Neu in der Deutschlandcard-App. Sammle Punkte mit deinen Kassenbons von DM, Rossmann und vielen weiteren Supermärkten und Drogerien. Einfach Kassenbons scannen, punkten und sparen. Jetzt gratis mit der Deutschlandcard-App.
Hello everyone and welcome to Inside Track with me, Luca Allam. I'm joined by someone who knows a thing or two about airplanes. She's actually the first female engineer in the Emirates. From the age of 17, she was trailblazing a brand new path for so many that can follow her own journey. She's now followed by millions online. Her journey and her challenges that she's faced throughout her life are truly inspiring. We'll talk more about the insights into her own journey, but also into the insights of aviation and what does that mean for the future. Sawad, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Luca, for having me. It's my pleasure.
I need to tell you, I know nothing about aviation.
This is the best part.
Yeah, as a I'm passenger. Here to learn. The show is the inside track. I want to hear those insights.
So we're gonna, definitely.
Your story is remarkable.
Thank you.
For those who don't know you, and I was one of those people, the more you would talk, the more you would share, the more I'd be blown away with what you've been through from such a young age to the present day. And it's an incredible journey, really.
It is an incredible journey, and I love it. Every single day of this journey, it's increased the passion about the aviation inside me, as I'm crazy about airplane. And it started from very young.
Yeah.
People know when they mention my name, they know, they will tell you, she's so crazy about airplane.
Yeah.
It's like my first love.
Yeah.
I've been in this industry 24 years. Exactly.
MashaAllah.
I started with playing with aeroplane, stealing cars from my brother.
From your brother, yeah.
I hate dolls. I hate makeups. So my mom, when she start buying all of this stuff,
yeah,
girl stuff, I go change it with cars, aeroplane. And here it's the passion increase inside me. And I wanted to be in the field.
Yes.
I never thought about, is it about fixing, is it flying, is it cabin crew, till 1990.
Okay.
And I decided I want to touch it, I want to fix it, and I want to be a craft engineer.
We're going to get into all of that. You're obviously, you're a doctor engineer, right?
Yes.
But when I asked you to, you know, how do I introduce you, you said, just call me Sawad, right?
I love my
life. And because you're down to earth.
Thank
and
you.
And you want to come across as just as a human, just as someone who can talk and can relate to everybody.
Correct.
But the reality is, not many people can relate to you, right? Because your level of professionalism, your level of specification and expertise is very hard to match because of what you've been through and because of what you've learned. There are very, very few people on the planet, if any, who are a woman, who are Emirati, and who are an aircraft engineer. How many are there in the world?
Worldwide, we are 4%. Only as aircraft engineer, but as a female who is studying, they reach 13%, which is still very less number worldwide.
Yeah.
And UAE, we are looking for more. But as you mentioned, it's a different field.
Yeah.
It's a different mentality. People, they think that women cannot be there. Starting with all what you mentioned about titles, everything.
Yes.
A lot of female and not more of them, they think like if you will graduate with aeronautical engineering or aerospace engineering,
yeah,
everyone should call you engineer.
So a plane is not just a plane.
So can you imagine how the aircraft engineer they are?
That's crazy.
Continue studying.
And we're going to talk about it in detail. First and foremost, on my show, I always ask my guests to bring in their favorite mug.
Yeah, you remind me.
So I did this morning. Yeah, it was early.
Yes.
What is your mug about? What's going on here?
Well, each mug I have it's have a message, which I think it's remind me it's what every message I have. I'm addicted to coffee.
Yeah.
And you remember when we were talking about it, I named my
aviation,
son.
Family, and coffee, your favorite three things.
And I remember and your son. My son name.
Yeah, nickname, yeah. Cappuccino.
Cappuccino, yeah? Yes. Yeah. He's my cappuccino. Well, this mug, it's about the dream. Mm. And it's in Arabic, say, Tilhelm fi mishkati fajrin. وعند الصبح تبتسم الأماني. What does it mean? That every single dream, it will come true every single morning.
Nice.
So if you believe in your dream, you can make it reality and happen in the morning. So for me, each mug, similar to those mug, I have it every single day. I just rap back and it's the message of the day. And this is what motivates me to continue and work and start my morning at 4.
And it's what people know you by. When you go on stage and you're a prominent speaker, you always talk about following your dreams. You always talk about realizing your dreams. You're someone who really wants to allow people to dream big and just to go for it.
You know why? Because I do believe if you can dream it, you can do it. A lot of people never thought my dream can be true. As like, you know, those people who are around you and say, you cannot do it. You will not be able because either you're female, is it because you cannot speak English? I was zero in English. I was overweight. I was 160 kg. Exactly 159.8 kg. And people were laughing at me, laughing about my dream. And one day I read the sentence, one of the cartoon movie came.
Which one do you remember?
I cannot remember. And the sentence came, if you can dream it, you can do it. And I added, and you can achieve it with biggest smile. And I put it every single place in the front of my face. And here we are. I believe in
and
this.
It's unbelievable. And there's a story, a very famous story, that someone rather important allowed you the opportunity to live out your dream. Can you tell the viewers and the listeners what that story was and how you ended up being that 17-year-old girl who was dreaming big but didn't know where to go, and then a phone call changed your life?
Sometimes this opportunity comes in front of you. How often we have this opportunity and people, they think it's just a joke, or should I take it or leave it, correct?
Yeah.
So after the high school, my mom, she registered me in medical school. I was running always from the university, and I go to the garage to fix cars. I'm crazy about cars. And after 1 year, all my colleagues, they enter actually the university, they start their life, and I keep hearing from my family, my mom, yes, you're losing your life. What you're
wasting time.
Yes, I'm wasting my time. And she never knew that I'm running from university because she paid. And one day, a guy, he came and he wanted to fix a classic car. It's a Ford Mustang 1969. And he stared at me, what you're doing? You are local. And I told him my story. And I wanted to be an aircraft engineer. And wherever I go, I knock a door. They said it's only for male.
Yeah.
And I still cannot understand why they judge as per the gender. And he said, who can make your dream true? And I said, after God, is only His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, the ruler of Dubai. And he said, if he's in front of you or talk to you, what you have said. And you know, 17 years old, you have all this crazy idea, dream. And I keep talking. And he gave me his phone. He gave it to me. And he said, talk to him. And here, you know, she got shocked, like,
you must have thought this is not true. This is not real.
Yes. I was waiting like, is he will laugh at me? Yeah. Is he joking? And I said, what I will lose? If it was a joke, it's a joke. If it's the truth, it's him. After the second ring, His Highness Mohammed bin Rashid, he answered the phone actually. Until today, I keep remember when I told them, and I said one sentence, I told them, people said it's impossible to be because I'm a female. And he told me that in 2001, nothing called impossible in UAE. And here, you thought about his imagination and mission and vision to his daughters and son and people who live in UAE. And seriously, till today, when I keep reminding the story, it's make me cry because seriously, he make us follow our dream. And after 10 days, I remember, I received a call from Adad Al-Qadha, and they said to prepare yourself, that we got you into an English course in UK. I remember exactly, Notting Hill Gate. In David Game College.
Okay. It's a nice area, by the way.
It is amazing.
It's a nice area.
And they said you will be admitted to one of the biggest university, Hertfordshire University, where the place, the first aircraft built in UK and fly. And it was something, I cannot explain the feeling, to be honest.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Your life literally changed. And that phone call, 10 days later, you were more or less getting on a plane to go to the UK.
Actually, they said, prepare yourself.
Prepare yourself.
And we sign the contract, they give me money, they give me a salary every month, and they make sure they follow up your education side and the government support. But the shock is like my family were not aware about it.
Yeah. Have you spoken to Sheikh Mohammed, seen him since that phone call?
Yes. Actually, he saw us before we fly and when we graduated.
No way.
And it was the most moment as a father, he talked to his children and kids. Like, I was only girl with 17 boys. And the advice he gave us, it stick in our head. And it's make me to be where I am right now.
Is Sheikh Mohammed the best ruler in the world?
For me, I always say Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum and Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, they are the best. What they are doing, not only for us, for the citizens, for the UAE, for, if I compare it with my respect to any other, no, nothing
how,
like this.
How same. Proud are you to be Emirati?
I'm so proud. I'm so proud to say I'm an Emirati. I'm in a country that the most important, you are living your life. Let's be honest, Luca. You are here. You feel you are home. You don't feel like you are different. Yeah. Not only in your home. When you walk on the street with your family.
You feel safe.
You feel secure. Everyone equal.
You have an opportunity.
And you feel you are home. You don't feel you are expat from different country. They don't treat you differently. This is what people want. To live where you can feel that serious. You and your kids, you are feeling you are home.
No, it's an incredible place. We're very fortunate to be here. And I think Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum is, if not the best, he's definitely one of the best leaders in the world. Before I go any further, usually I ask my guests if there's a question that they feel uncomfortable answering. Use your safe word, okay? Do you have a safe word in mind?
Okay. Next, I will say for you.
You don't have it. So your safe word is next.
Next,
I like that.
Always. Even in meetings, important meeting, if I don't like what is going on,
yeah,
and I know it's not much what we are, especially in our field,
yeah,
you will definitely see me. I say for the team next.
So noted. We will use. Hopefully, you don't have to use it, but if you do, then they're definitely next. You're someone who's done a lot with their life. Most people know you for being an engineer in aviation, but you're someone who is also, you read a lot. You read 136 books.
2024.
In 2024, last year. That's crazy. And you've written 7 novels.
Yep.
And one of them is How to Murder
Your... How to Kill Your Man with No Evidence.
How to Kill Your Man with No Evidence.
I hope no man kill me.
What does your husband think about this?
Oh.
Does he sleep with one eye open?
No, I hope not. To be honest, it's... It's a wish. I work with a man.
Yeah.
99, I study with men. I work with them. And I keep hearing those stories, especially when you work different shift. And when you have this long relation in your career, you hear the voice of the man more than the female. I wish I have more female in my career. But I noticed something. Just a lot of women, they wish either to divorce their husband or to get away from their father or from their brother, but they never hear the voice of the man. So when it came the first time in 2018, I launched the first book, and it was The Voice of the Woman and The Voice of the Man. It's been sold out 28,000, and it's been translated to English. Thank you. But the idea of it is... the second edition, it was a real murder. Mm. Actually, a doctor it's helped a woman to kill their husband.
Yeah.
And the idea is, what I want to show it in the book, it's not how really to kill your man. It's how to sit and open a real conversation as a friend. With real life, look at today, everyone is busy. The female is busy. The wife is busy. The husband, the kids. You don't have this real conversation, which... I decided every Sunday or Saturday, if I'm not working, no phones, no computer, amazing, nothing. We had to have this family and talk to each other. And with my partner, it's the most important when I told him, like, let's talk as a friend. It means something serious. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you will get a scream, get angry, piss off with it. Mm. But as a friend, I can open talk to you. And very rare you can find this in a relation is how often you sit with your wife and say, okay, let's talk as a friend. Yeah. Do you do it?
We do it. It's something that we're both conscious of as well, because like you said, things are happening too quickly, especially Dubai. Dubai is fast.
It's very fast.
The pace is I mean, I grew up between, well, in London, a lot of my time was in London. I thought London was fast. No, Dubai is another level.
But not everyone.
So you need to make the effort to find the time to have those conversations with your partner.
And this is where I put it in the book. Why I love reading. The reading is most, it's make you calm. It's away from attention. The touch of the paper itself, and to live, it's helped me to live the life of the heroes. Take you to another world, another culture, another in their country.
To learn. When you read, you learn. But you're best known for being, and you have a lot of followers online, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Because of what you do and how specialized you are, and for what you represent to so many people. You are a woman, you are Emirati, and you work as an aircraft engineer. Those three words, Emirati female aircraft engineer, before you, they could never be put together. So you've created a brand new way of looking at things. And it may not just be in engineering, in aviation engineering. It could be into a different type of industry that most women who are Emirati would think they could never get into. But you've also shown them that it's possible.
It's possible,
so
yes.
What is it like now? Because you're now moving into the celebrity status rather than an engineer status. Because when you have in the millions in terms of followers online, you have a huge following, right? And you can be recognized when you go to certain places or not, and people will look positively on you or they'll be jealous of you. So, and you've had to deal with that. Whereas you were a girl who started just because you love cars, you love engines, you love planes. Now you're into a different world. So talk to me about that transition of being that girl who just loved to play with cars and planes to now being someone who's known as a celebrity in a lot of circles and as a massive influencer. And not now longer seen as a specialist in aviation. You're much more than that.
I never thought about it as a celebrity. To be honest, it's I do respect that a lot of people have they've been recognized as celebrity. For me, it's not the number of the followers as what I give to them, what I show them. Why I enter to social media? Because I never had the chance to learn or to be mentored by a mentor. So I never had this conversation with someone, a specialist in aviation, and motivate me in the real life, to be honest. Yes, my family, the big support. I'm the youngest. They support me. But when you go to different country, I went to UK, Luca, with my respect, different religion, different culture, different mentality. I never knows what to do and what not. When I entered to the university, no one teach me how I have to be, how to educate myself, how to be a responsible. But I avoid to say myself, I'm a celebrity. I'm just giving back to the society. And
it's uncomfortable for you because that's not why you're doing it. But to use another word, you're a role model for millions, right? You're a role model that people want to know more about. And I think there aren't enough celebrities out there that are forces for good. They're more about, you know, the shallow materialistic focus, whereas you represent something completely different. You represent a mindset of literally nothing is impossible. And you're taking how Dubai was created and how it was built, and you're literally doing that for your life, and you're changing it, and you're inspiring others with that. So you may not like the word celebrity, but you are one, but you're positively, you're a role model much more than anything else. And I think it's about you recognizing the fact that when you speak, the impact that it's going to have on so many people is much bigger than you think it is, right? Because for you, you're just Suad, right? That's who you are. That's how your friends know you, your family know. But when someone who doesn't know you, when you say something, they look at you up on stage, or when they see you with 1, 2, 3, they go, oh my God. And then everything that you say matters. So
I have
you
to have be to, careful.
Yeah, you have to think double. But you have the power to change lives. Just like Sheikh Mohammed and Rashid Al Maktoum changed your life, you can also do the same for other people. Maybe not to the same level with a phone call, but in other ways you can. No,
actually, we do in different level, correct. But for me, it's the most important. I remind myself that one day I used to be a child, teenager with a dream. So when a dreamer come in front of me, I need to remind myself, yes, sometimes you have, let's be honest, we are human, look, I will be so honest with you. Sometimes you have this ego. Okay, yes, people knows you and everything. But for me, why I have this message every day, and I keep reminding Suad that you used to be a dreamer. So any dreamer come in front of you, if you have the opportunity to help them, you have to help them, because one day I will leave this aviation industry. I will leave even the life. So the most important what I should give to remind myself this one every day, for that you see the mag message. And no, we help a lot. I help more than 44 female expat and local to enter to the university. We give them scholarship. I have an agreement with many universities in the country and outside the country. Actually, we build a nonprofit organization for women in aviation. That this organization is to empower women and help them how to balance their life, how to get a career, how to get a scholarship. We try, from me, I try my best to help them to enter the field. But to impact and have this impact, I have always remind myself, I'm a human, not only that I'm a famous or I have these titles.
Yeah. You must have faced, and from such an early age, when people look at you, they would laugh. They were like, why, are you serious? You want to get into, you want to do this? And you don't speak English when you were younger.
Yep.
And you're going to the university. And I'm sure there were people saying, she's serious. She's an Emirati. Oh, who have no heritage in aviation and engineering at the time, I'm guessing. You must have faced so many people judging you based on how you look, based on how you speak, based on your gender. How do you deal with that?
To be honest, in the beginning, it was hard. It might be affecting me till today, because it's not only judging you as a female. Judge you about the way you look, the way, because you are female, you don't speak English, you dream about something, as many people say, it's impossible. I remember one of the place when I applied for a scholarship, and it was interview, one of the guy, he said, by laughing, he thought that he's just creating a joke, make the environment funny. He said, if you will be an aircraft engineer and you will fix aircraft with your look, you will break the wing. And you know, everyone keep laughing. For me, it was hurting more than laughing. The most important how it's you talk, taking all this negativity. For me, it was in the beginning, like all this bullying, all of the judgment. It's hurt. What I'm doing, is it I'm in the right path? Is it I'm doing the right to dream about it?
You were always asking yourself that question.
Yes. And I remember one day I said myself, it's my life. I should decide it what I want to be. Let's be honest. People will always judge us. Either we speak fluent English, 7 languages, 10 languages, we are fat. They will judge you for something. And I remember one day I wrote a book. It's called Hope. And still I have it. It was in 2002. And it's about how you have this hope in your life. And then 2 pages, 3 pages, it's like, okay, keep it away. But the sentence remained in my mind. And I said for myself, what I will lose? People who don't love me, they will never love me, even if I will follow their path. And many of them, after I graduate, after I have the first female aircraft engineer title, after I got the first job, they come back to my family. Can Suad help us? Can she help our son?
How did you feel when that happens, when they come back? Do you want to just basically slap them? Or do you feel a sense of pride? Do you feel anger? What do you feel?
Oh, can we go to next week?
Next, all right. Hey guys, it's me again. Do you get worried about giving a speech or, you know, being on a podcast or being someone that's been told to present in front of their client or to their, even to their boss. A lot of people have anxiety when it comes to public speaking. In fact, 74% of every one of us is terrified by the idea of standing in front of other people and trying to convince them of something. The good news is there's a lot of people that can help. In fact, I've launched my own training program, which I'm calling Master Pitch, which combines my 20 years of corporate background running big businesses, dealing with clients, as well as my own personal passion point of presenting in front of large audiences or being on camera, or in fact, even being on the Inside Track. So if you want to improve things like your tone, your pace, your storytelling narrative, and how to structure properly, as well as to understand your audience better and to drive real impact, I'm sure I can help you out. Whether individual level or at a corporate level, my Master Pitch training program can definitely make you a better public speaker. So drop me an email at info@lukealam.com or check out my website, lukealam.com, if you want to find out more information, more details. Right, let's get back to the show. On that note, I've got some questions for you.
Okay.
All right. But these are questions that are supposed to inspire some insightful conversations, and they're all about you. So I never ask the same question to any guest.
Okay.
So you're in charge now of the show, Suad, okay?
Oh, okay.
So you take this bag, take out a ball each time, read all it out loud.
All green day. It's like all green day.
It's all green, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay. Only one?
Only one at a time.
Okay.
We'll get through all of them, don't worry.
Fly me to the moon or drive me home.
So, and by the way, in all of my questions, I should say, you've got to pick one or the other.
Right? Okay.
So this question is about, are you someone who really wants to push your career and sort of fly me as far as you could possibly go, fly you to the moon, or are you someone that would rather drive me home because I want to stay close to my family? So fly me to the moon or drive me home. What's more important to you?
Oh, I will say, me and my kids will sing it, Fly Me to the Moon, which every week we sing it, especially with cappuccino. Now I will go to the moon with my family.
You're taking, but you can't, what's more important?
Why?
Because what I like, this question is about, and this is answering what you said before, you can't have both. Right? I remember when most people say you can either have the success and the career, but you won't be able to have the family. This is exactly what I'm trying to say to you now. This is what most people think. And your answer is, why not?
Why not?
And I love that.
Why not? Let's be honest. Today, you are on the show. Who's supporting you?
The wife. A bunch of other people here.
Yes.
My production team, post-production team.
The most important, when you ask before we start, the confidence with Luca, you ask whom? How I look?
Mm-hmm.
Your wife.
Mm-hmm.
She's a part. She's, sorry, with my respect to her, she's very amazing, mashallah, God bless her, and pretty. You ask her, she never leave you here alone and will go for shopping, or she will leave you. She support your success. Why? Because she believe. The same. If I want to reach to the moon, if I want to reach to any place, why people think that the family will not support you? For me, for example, today, Yusuf, he chose for me what I'm wearing. So I ask my kids before anything, like if I'm going on stage or I'm going for interview or podcast or whatever, they choose for me. So they choose what my outfit, what makeup I should put. And I show them, like, today, for example, local, see, this is the family I'm visiting today, mommy and everything. And they support me. In the end, I can't fly to the moon and success with my kids. When I deliver Yusuf, I was on duty.
Wow.
Actually, I was in very tricky part.
Wow.
The second one, I was holding one of the biggest project in United Arab Emirates, the third biggest airport in the world. And when we did the trial, we go for all this test. Actually, I was pregnant with him. When I complete my master, my PhD, they were part of it, my partner and the kids. And I reached to the moon with them.
Yeah.
So I think both.
So no, normally on the show, I never let my guests go for both, but because you're so nice and because you're such a convincing argument,
I trick you.
And because we're coming towards the end of season two, I'm going to allow it.
See?
Any future guests that come on, you can't sit on the fence. Right, let's do the next question.
Trick him only.
Let's do the next one.
Okay.
We're off to an easy start.
Okay. Did the airport make Dubai or did Dubai make the airport?
So this question is about Dubai from a geographical perspective, is very central in the world, right? It's a fantastic route between connecting Asia and Europe and even the US. So strategically, it's so well positioned. So the question is, did Dubai make the airport? Did the airport make Dubai? The brand of Dubai is fantastic,
right? Correct.
But it was helped because of the airport immensely, because of the location for it. So it's really a question of which came first.
Dubai.
So
for
Dubai.
For me, it's Dubai, because when you will see how the growth of Dubai and what is happening, it's not only connecting the people, it's not connecting only a geographical, it's not a center. Economic-wise, tourism-wise, safety-wise, it's every single thing. You can find it here. So when I see the number of people move to Dubai, not only as a traveler, not only transit, not only visitor, if I count what I heard recently, like more than 186,000 or 200 people move to live in Dubai. So Dubai, it's make the airport the hub for many things, for businessman, businesswoman, economic-wise, tourism. Every dreamer, every company, every person can live here. So when I consider how it's connect and how bigger we became, for that now we are building the biggest airport in the world, I'm considering, yes, Dubai, who did the brand name of Dubai before the airport, before anything.
But you know, a lot of people outside, if they hadn't visited Dubai, they'll know about Emirates, the airline.
Yes.
For them, you know, they would see Emirates Airline and they'd get a sort of small taste of what Dubai is like, wherever it travels. And a lot of people would connect. I mean, when I used to live in the UK, if you wanted to go to Australia, for example, you'd have to connect via Dubai or potentially Singapore, whatever the case is. So people would know about Dubai because of its connectivity and because of the Emirates. And sort of you saw this beautiful sort of growth journey of both the airline and the city, but it was all built around the transit nature of... Now, what's happening now is people are living here now.
Yes.
They're visiting it, but they're like, you know what? We want to stay here.
This is the flavor and the taste of it, because as you said, Emirates grow very fast. And what is showing the world via Emirates for other people, this is what the good things. When you fly with Emirates, you get the flavor of Dubai, of United Arab Emirates, to learn about the culture, to see it. And what you see inside the aircraft, the quality, the privilege, what they are giving to the passenger, thanking you to come to visit. But the most important, who did it? The creativity mind, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum and His Highness Ahmed bin Saeed. This is where they wanted the brand of Dubai to grow. So today when you fly with Emirates, they give you this a small video from Dubai Tourism showing why you have to come to visit Dubai, what you can find, what is not. And here it's changed, make the playing with your mindset that yes, I will not only transit, I want to visit the this is the things where you find that without Dubai, this brand will never show.
When you go to other airports, what do you think when you compare it to Dubai airport?
Well, I'll be so honest with you. Some of the airports they have very nice. It's the bend. As working in aviation, it's you see the incredible of the biggest airport. What is actually linked with you? I love Dubai airport. But this year, for a couple of years, the most beautiful airport where I used to work and as a consultant is Zayed Airport in Abu Dhabi. And where you see the people, they don't know why they've been choosing Abu Dhabi Airport as the beautiful airport in the world. Do you know?
I probably don't.
You know, to be honest, in Abu Dhabi Airport, they do it as for pier, we call it. Each pier have a color. Do you know this color linked to what? So you have a beige.
Okay.
You have the gray.
Okay.
You have the green and the blue. Each pier. What does it sign for?
I should know, shouldn't I?
Yes, from the color side.
Is it linked to the... So you got beige, gray, green and blue.
Yep.
Is that the air, wind, earth? ocean something? I don't
know. Similarity. So the gray side, the green side, it's faced to Al Ain, where it's the green city.
Ah, okay.
So the gray, it's linked to the city side.
Yeah.
It's the desert side. And the blue one, it's the ocean.
So,
and
yeah, so
you are right.
Yeah,
so when you go to the pier, you will see everything about the United Arab Emirates and Abu Dhabi city.
Very nice.
Which is that many airports, they don't do design it like this. But for me, it's Abu Dhabi airport is one of the beautiful airport. When you go to each airport, you learn.
Yeah.
Dubai airport, the new one.
It tells you something about the country, right?
And
every time you go
want.
To it, you get it. It's your first impression of any new country that you go to is the airport.
Yep.
How is the staff? How is the facilities, the infrastructure, the convenience factor, the ease of transit, all that kind of stuff. I have to tell you this. Every place I go to, I compare it to Dubai airport. I don't live in Abu Dhabi. I transit to Dubai. So
yes.
I don't know Abu Dhabi as well. But
when
I go anywhere, sorry to drop, when I go anywhere, I always think, my God, it's so much better than Dubai. It's just so much better.
And you see, you saw the design they want to build already in Al Maktoum. Mm. It will be something seriously incredible. You will see how it's a huge, not only the size, the design itself.
But in your opinion, it's Dubai that made the airport. Going back to it, it's the Dubai that made the airport, not the airport that made Dubai.
Yep.
Okay, clear. I love it.
Okay. Cancer is the scariest word in the world.
Debate. So is cancer the scariest word in the world?
And in what sense?
When someone says they have cancer, or when someone you know someone close has cancer, that word invokes so much feeling, emotion. You know what I mean? And it's scary for the person who's either going through it or that you know someone who's also going through it.
I think it's what link with it. It's a scare the people. The scare is not the cancer. It's losing those people. So many diseases worse than cancer. Let's be honest. People, we always link the cancer with the death.
Yes, exactly.
But to be honest, there are some diseases worse than the cancer. It's the mindset of the people. Many people, they recover. Maybe I hate this word, scarce, because I never met my father because of this disease. When he passed away, I was 10 months.
I'm sorry, Adam.
But I think it's how we play with the mindset of the people. It's not the scarce. The scarce when you say you are sick. I think the sickness word is more scarce than the cancer for me.
We talked about it a couple of days ago. Are you okay to talk about it?
Yep.
What you're going through?
It's okay. Well, to be honest, I pressure myself at work, at my, you know, the busy life. I never thought about one day I will be in a sickness worse than the cancer and it will affect my life. The harder thing is when you saw the death and you think about the loving people in your life. I remember I was driving to work, couldn't breathe, hitting my chest so hardly, and you cannot scream because you are alone. Heavy rain, I remember those days. So I called my partner and I said for him, like, I'm calling the ambulance. I cannot. And this is the day has changed my life, that I cannot be back as a normal person. Enter to the hospital. All what you hear, she's dying, heavily bleeding. And they told me because you have type similarity to the cancer, but it's not. And its effect, you get 8 ulcer, you are bleeding, you have to enter to an operation. And this moment, when you think that you are losing everything, you are losing the titles, you are losing your family, you are losing, who will take care of my kids? And the hardest time, it was what I done. Is it correct? is it I'm ready to die? And the eyes of people around me, it was so scary. I never admit about it. I was so strong in front of them and say, no, it's fine. I'll be fine. It's just something, it's easy. But when I heard the doctor, he said that she's dying. You know, you have this scenario in your mind, how your kids will grow up. It was the difficult part, Luca, in my life. And when I wake up from the coma and I saw my mom, she's sleeping in the floor.
You were 2 weeks, right, in a coma?
Yes. The hardest thing that people, they don't understand the value of their parents, except when the difficulty or they lose them. And I, all what I thought about it, what I done? Why I make them suffer rather than make them happy, my partner, my kids, my mom. And this is the time I noticed that I will never be back to normal. I cannot eat normal. I cannot, the bleeding will be continue under medication for your whole life. You have to do this cleaning operation every six months. And here I noticed something. It's okay not to be okay, but nothing worth it. I'm telling you the truth. Yes, you are fighting for titles. You are fighting for money, for famous, for to be celebrity, for being the most trendy in social media. But if you face the death, I face it twice. After I came out from the hospital, 3 months I stayed in the hospital, 2.5 months, 3 months. And I was so happy that I'm going back home. I'll see my kids because I cannot see them. 2 days again happened to me, the same situation, bleeding, enter to the hospital. The scare part, it's people cannot tell you the truth that they love you. Sometimes they don't say it. But the scary part of when I go every day out, my kids, when they ask me, mommy will be back.
It's okay. We can stop if you like.
I think it's... Next.
You're a remarkable lady. You're very, very strong, very courageous. Thank you for sharing what you did.
Only what advice I will say for people who see it. Hug your family and say you love them. Because seriously, without the family is nothing. Without every success in your life, it will be
doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything. Family's everything. Let's go to the next question.
Okay.
How long until AI takes control of the cockpit?
How long until AI takes control of the cockpit?
Okay, to implement AI and the aviation, not the robot, not the pilot.
Have you seen the movie Airplane?
Yes.
You know when they have the inflatable pilot, the co-pilot comes up and he starts, he's smiling like this. He's like,
oh my God.
Great movie.
That's the great movie. But to be honest.
We're showing our age now. There's a lot of Gen Zs like, what? What are you talking about?
The new generation.
My production guy just turned around and goes, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah. Oh my God. Back to the question. I think AI, it's already started to implement. When His Highness Sheikh Hamdan bin Hamad.
It's in the cockpit itself, flying the plane.
To be honest, flying to a plane, I don't think it's now, but it will happen.
How soon are we talking?
It's give us 5 to 7 years, but will not replace the pilot. We need the human. We need the human. Yes, maybe it's going to replace some in the cockpit, the co-pilots, but to replace the whole, I don't think so, because still we are here.
So let me play devil's advocate here. There are already a shortage of good pilots.
Yes.
Right. Now, if I'm a 21-year-old, 18-year-old guy, and I'm starting out, and I want to be a pilot, and I'm thinking, well, hold on a second. AI is already here. why would I want to become a pilot when I know probably my future is going to have a very, very small amount of active involvement because AI is going to be flying anyway. So aren't you going to create even more of a shortage of pilots? So you have to rely even more on AI. So that process of 5 to 7 years takeover actually expedites to be quicker.
Can you trust?
Do you like my logic?
Okay. Can you trust to be an aeroplane, let's say from Dubai to London, and you know that no pilot there?
It happens on trains.
Train,
it happens on trains.
Train and the floor.
I'm with you.
And the
I know,
sky.
I'm with you. But there's more up until the end of 2024. There weren't that many plane accidents, right? It was a rough end to last year, right?
The reason of the
So my answer, why I'm saying it is because, you know, AI is in such a, I mean, most of these cars now, a lot of the new cars that are being developed can drive themselves.
Yes.
Right? We just like to sit there and be comfortable. But we show off to our friends, Habibi, look, I'll press a button, khalas, it'll drive me from Dubai, Abu Dhabi, no problem. But the reality is that when you've got passengers on board,
it's different.
You get more into ethical
First of all, to get into this, yes, one day it will happen. But for the next 5 years, actually, we need extra pilot. So in 5 years, as per our research, we need 20,000 pilots worldwide. This is minimum compared to it 40,000, okay, and 100,000 cabin crew. I'm talking about whole biggest airline in the world.
So, they, okay, in total, every year, there needs to be 20,000 active pilots.
For the 5 years, almost you need every year 5,000 to 6,000, let's say. For the next 5 years.
For all the big commercial planes?
Commercial, okay, compared to...
Is that it? I thought it would be much more than that.
It will be more. I'm saying minimum.
Okay.
Minimum requirement where they will be having a huge shift strategy plan and everything. This is with the current pilot, but it will be replaced with the co-pilots, with some of the system, but to replace it fully and have, say, no pilot and no co-pilot, I don't believe it will happen in the next 5 years. It might take longer, but, you know, with the technology, with everything coming, we don't know what will happen.
So here's another question for you, right? Let's say one of those low-budget airlines, right? They want to save money. They want to cut costs. And they give passengers a chance of taking a flight that has an AI pilot or a human pilot. The AI pilot is massively discounted. It's 50% off. Do you think passengers will want to go on the AI plane knowing that's 50% off? I think yes, by the way.
Yes.
I think on these low budget planes, you can test out on that. They might use that as a way of saying, look, full disclosure, if you go the AI plane, right, it's 50% discount. I hope I haven't given anyone any ideas. But you know what I mean?
I'll answer you something. If some passenger, if they hear that the pilot, she's a female, they want to go out. They don't want to fly.
Really?
Still.
Even now?
Still.
2025.
Okay. Wow. But yes, it might be, but I don't think it's very near.
Okay.
It's take time because of not only the passenger, the rules and regulation to implement, to test it, all of this does take time.
What about now in traffic control, if AI is controlling traffic control? Because humans make errors. Will an AI make an error? Ooh, she's so... And then do you want,
I don't want here,
even further, do you want an AI traffic controller speaking to a human pilot? Because
it will speak. To be honest,
I think
to replace some of the aircraft engineer, yes, it start happening in many manufacturing, many airline, without mentioning which airline. Yes, some of the aircraft engineer job, it's being replaced with the AI and robot.
Yeah.
Okay. This is no argument with it. With air traffic control, they tested in one of the country. Still, they have this issue how it will communicate because as a human, you know how to communicate with a human. And we need all of this to be implemented and correct because aviation industry, it's more about the safety. Forget about the incident happened in 2024. It's not only about a human or a maintenance error, or as people say, there's a bird or, but I mean, it will be some of the changes happen with the AI, but in the cockpit, I think after 5 years, we need to check with it.
Okay. I like him. Okay. Next. And that's not the same.
I hope pilots, my friend pilots will not get angry with
that. That's okay. They should get paid more, by the way, because there's less of them. So if you're a pilot, ask for more money.
And my friend pilot, thank you. You know what I mean? Okay. Which international airline carried the biggest revenue?
Rivalries, yes. Right. So which international airlines have the biggest rivalries?
The biggest airline in the world. Okay, we're starting Emirates, Qatar, Etihad, Lufthansa, Singapore. Everyone, they have this competition to win the award at the end of the year. It's what you give more to the passenger, to the customer, to as a sponsor. But they don't hit each other, by the way. It's more about...
So who's the biggest rivalry? So going back to the question, who has the biggest rivalry amongst the airlines?
I think more who want to copy, I would say. They want to copy Emirates and Qatar Airways most. Like the biggest three competitor as aviation researcher, not working right now, Singapore, Qatar, and Emirates.
Isn't that crazy that two of them are in this region? Isn't that so nice as it's being an Arab, as having two of these prestigious brands?
If you go to the older list, you will see a lot of Arab and Gulf country are in the last. Like we have Qatar, Etihad, Emirates. Kuwait has recently came into the list, but I cannot remember which number. But the biggest airline as a competitor as Arab, we have Qatar, Etihad, and Emirates.
So it's amazing for this
region. It's amazing. Yeah. And
30 years ago, completely different list. And you'd have British Airways, I'm guessing, would be top three. Virgin Atlantic maybe would be top three.
Now it's in the top. You can see last year, exactly, it was between Singapore, Qatar, Etihad, and Emirates.
Singapore Airlines is a nice airline.
It is nice. I
like it.
I fly with them. But you know who came into the market right now? Turkish Air.
Yes, they're doing very well.
They're doing
and they're doing a lot of good branding. I'm in marketing, so I really appreciate
it. You see how the branding, the changes they've done it. So Fly Dubai, for example, a lot of changes, the strategy, Air Arabia. You see, the most important, the destination, the price, the quality of the cabin crew, how they are with a passenger. Air Arabia and Fly Dubai, they did very brilliant, very good this year. Last year, 2020. With every flight, is the environment of flying closer to Iran?
Air travel is increasing year on year, 4%, 6%, depending on which stats you want to read. There's more flights than there's ever been.
Yes.
Are we quickening the end of a nice, healthy environment with every flight that we take?
Most of the airline now, it's considering the sustainability side. Considering the climate change.
Yes, but they
are working.
Things need to change quickly.
Let's be honest. When it's come to the environment, I will make it easier for people who will hear us. When you go for healthy food dieting, it's more expensive than junk food and unhealthy food. Correct?
Yes.
Let's be honest. So when it's come to sustainability, it's working. The government, the authority, the airline working on it, but it's very costly. So when we consider about the green fuel, some of the airlines implement this and start working on within the green fuel, checking about the climate change.
Who's the best at doing that? Who's the best so far?
So far, the best is Etihad Airways doing, British Airways. Many of Emirates started as well. Qatar, I heard recently. So implement the sustainability, it's part of the big file and agenda of the Aviation Industry Authority. But it's not only about the green fuel, it's about how it starts step-by-step changing. So if you will go off one of the airline, they change it all, the material, they are the blade, the spoon, into recycling one. So it's starting to think about the environment, but it still is very costly.
There's been a lot of protests about sustainability, even here in Dubai.
Yes.
There is pressure. There is pressure from outside sources.
You know why? Because it's not only you implement and test it, the result of it. So, for example, if you will think about how the fuel burning, okay, to calculate it and how much it costs, it will be higher. So there's some study doing how the flight, how it's a flying distance, the height of if you think when you fly, for example, to UK, you will see it is different than all day. All day, if you thought it was the heights is different, the timing it was longer. So even the route of the flying is being changed. So is the study of it is there, But from a researcher, it's very, very...
I think business travel is the real killer, right? Because there's a lot of people, especially here in Dubai or in Abu Dhabi, that are going to Doha a lot, Riyadh a lot, you know, daily flights, weekly flights.
And the size of the aircraft is effective.
Yeah, right. And also, it's not healthy for you. If you go in a small airplane, right, the engine and all that stuff, the compression, I'm guessing, it can really hurt.
If it's a short destination, I do prefer the smaller aircraft because even the fuel being burned.
From a fuel consumption perspective, it's better.
But it's better. The operation cost is less. Yeah. So for the most costly is the 380.
Yeah.
So imagine if you're flying to Bahrain, for example, with the 380.
Doesn't make sense.
The fuel... The operation cost doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But is there something in, someone was telling me, again, if it's fact or fiction, but if you take a small plane that's, you know, it's relatively old, the compression on your ears...
It's higher.
Yeah. And it's much worse for your health than it is going on an A380. So from a health perspective, A380 is tick, tick, tick.
Tick.
But from sustainability, no.
Yes. Because it's similar. Let's be honest. The number of the people... It's different than when you are in bigger. If you are driving a four-wheel car and you're driving 911, what the sound?
Yeah.
So it'll affect your health, the speed, and fuel burning, the affected, even the affecting the fuel and when you're burning in the environment. So it's different.
Question though, for an engineer, this is going to sound really stupid, so apologies in advance.
No, it's okay.
Can it fly on one engine and for how long?
Well, not only the 380, any flight can be flying with one engine.
Only one.
If it's been effect, but not long. It's depend on the fuel.
Okay, so it's fuel consumption rather than engine capacity.
Yes, but it's they prefer to be not more than 2 or 3 hours.
Okay.
I've always wanted
to know that. Thank you for sharing.
And to be honest, a lot of people, they don't know that sometimes they are flying with one engine.
Really?
Because if it's been shut down, the other engine, it can be fly with one.
Really? And does it happen a lot? People shut
not
down?
Not a lot. Okay. It's not a lot.
Okay.
But the pilot, they've been trained, well trained to how to fly with one engine.
Interesting. So the last thing that I have for you is it's a white ball, right? It's,
you hide that.
There's no question on this. There's no question. So this can be for you something you want to ask me. Or something that you haven't said yet, and for those who are watching, listening, that you also want to say. So you have the power, Suad. Take the white ball and let me know.
Okay.
Nothing on it. There's nothing on it.
So any question I can ask you?
You can ask anything you like, or you can say anything you like. Anything that you wanted to say that you haven't, or ask anything that you haven't asked. So just be nice.
Aviator, they will never be nice. Okay, question for you. If one thing as a person and I when we had this conversation, I really like what you said, you follow your passion and your dream, which very rarely we find people with family do it. Did you regret it?
Did I regret following my dream?
Yes.
No, I haven't regretted it, but what I haven't really shared is the difficulties that you have inside with all the decision making that you need to, that comes with that decision, all the many decisions that you have to take afterwards. So I was used to having a certain way of life. I was used to having a certain income and I was comfortable. You know, touch wood, everything was comfortable. When you decide to make a big career change and get into a different type of world, you have to think about all the consequences of that one decision. The smaller decisions later on start impacting you because you don't have that security, that safety net. And you start thinking, am I doing the right thing? Is this going to be successful? Will I make enough money for my family? Is this worth the price? And there are days where I've struggled with a lot of things. There are days where I've asked myself, you know, I've done a big life change and I'm still living through it. It's not like I've come out the other side and go, yeah, it was the best decision I ever did and it's been fantastic. It has been because I feel alive, but I still have to think about the simple things. I have to think about how am I going to provide? How am I going to go on holiday and enjoy myself? Is it worth all of the sacrifices to follow your passion, follow your dream? And it's not easy. And I did this in my 40s. And like you said, it gets harder. Had I waited to do it in my 50s, I probably wouldn't have done it. But I think I realized what's most important to me in my life. And that is, you have to go for it. You really have to go for it. And you need to back yourself, because no one else is going to back you. Everyone else will try and tear you down. Everyone will say things that you want to hear, but you're the one who has to live through it. You're the one who has to, you know, you made your bed, now you have to lie in it. And you're the only person that can validate what you're doing. So for me, I know I'm doing the right thing because it makes me feel good and opportunities are starting to appear and occur. So the universe is answering back. But I also believe that the message I'm going to give to my kids is to work hard, but allow yourself the opportunity to dream.
And this is the important
way. And to go for it.
You know why I ask you
this?
That's
the message.
Because this is what I want people to hear, not only from me, from others, that you are happy of this change. Because many people, they are scared from change. They are scared from doing new things. Always they have this idea, and I think, I don't know, is it with, we grow up with it, that you have to have this the secure life, and the same your parents, the same your grandparents. It's
a plan. No, you have to follow the plan that everyone else is following.
Yes, everyone doing.
And the pressure that you have to do.
And when
that.
You do something different, people think that you're crazy. And here when you said that, yes, you struggle, but you are feeling comfortable and no harm in this.
Yeah. I feel comfortable in my own skin. Like for me, having a conversation with you, I love it. Having a conversation with guests, being on stage, I enjoy it tremendously. It's just now the question always become, yeah, but can you sustain this? Because we live in an expensive world, you know, and Dubai is not the cheapest place to live in, but also the moral responsibilities as a dad. You know, my wife is doing fantastically well in her own career, but a man, you know, and the other men who are watching or listening, they'll identify, especially if you come from Arab roots. There's a certain level of pride that if you're an Arab man, you have to be the provider, not your wife.
Correct.
Whether it's true or not, that's what we grow up into. So wrestling with that has been difficult, but you have to back yourself. And everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants to be happy and to make money and to be successful. Everybody.
Everyone
How
else.
You do it, that's up to you. But they can coexist. You can make money by doing something that you love. And, you know, you've been incredibly successful doing that.
So and I'm so happy for you that you are happy and your family, they're supporting you. This is the most important. And really, this is a lot of people should understand that it's your life. It's your family life. And you are happy with it. So they have to be happy for you.
Thank you for asking the question, by the way. It was a good question.
Thank you, Luca. And thank you for everything. It was my pleasure and serious, one of the best starting this year with. And you have an amazing wife to support you. And I think I will see something huge coming soon with you and all your show, inshallah.
Thank you so much. And on that note, please like, subscribe, and share. Thank you for watching The Inside Track. We'll see you very soon.
Neu in der Deutschlandcard-App. Sammle Punkte mit deinen Kassenbons von DM, Rossmann und vielen weiteren Supermärkten und Drogerien. Einfach Kassenbons scannen, punkten und sparen. Jetzt gratis mit der Deutschlandcard-App.